Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that good singing, didn't you? Amen. Thank God for the words of these songs, all these wonderful songs. Amen. Let us worship and celebrate our Lord and what He did for us and how that He rose again and how that He's coming back again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like He told them that He would die and rise again. I don't know how much many of them believed it because they were very discouraged on the third day. They went down to the tomb. There were some women went down to the tomb, but most of the disciples, Brother Jerry Lee, they wasn't there. And but He rose again. And, same scenario. He ascended to heaven and said, I'll be back again. And He's coming back again. Amen. You need to be looking for Him. You need to be looking for the Lord. Amen. You need to have your life ready to go. Saved and ready to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else, any of you other singers got a song on your heart this morning? Anybody? All right, then. Listen, this is our only service today. And, it shouldn't really even matter. It should never matter. Just because we're having one service today. I don't know how long I'll preach this morning. but I do know that the Lord has given me a thought, given me a message for today. And I want to try to obey Him the very best that I can. And I need your prayers. And listen, I really desire for the Lord to get glory through the remainder of the service. And that He would be magnified in your heart and in your mind. That He would be glorified by the saints. Amen. And that we could give Him some praise for who He is and all that He has done for us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 42. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 42. And while you're turning there, I'll say again how good it is to be in the Lord's house. And good to see everybody here in the Lord's house. Isaiah, chapter number 42, and verse number 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. As we look here in Isaiah 42 this morning for our text, the Bible said in verse number 1, Behold my servant. Behold my servant. And he says about his servant that he shall not fail. in verse number 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. And so that's what I want to try to think about this morning, is the servant of the Lord, this servant of the Lord that God is speaking about. He is certainly speaking about his son, the prophecy of his servant, the son, this servant of the Lord who would come, that God would send. He said, behold, I want you to look, my servant. Now, much that has been said in Isaiah as far as the prophecy that we see concerning Christ and concerning the servant. If you read from here till chapter number 53 or beyond, you'll find that the Lord gives this great prophecy. Isaiah gets the prophecy from the Lord. And it speaks about the deliverance of the people of God. It speaks of it in three ways, three different parts. It's the deliverance of the Jews from Babylon. And then it is the deliverance of the Gentile from their sinful state and their ignorance of God and from their idolatry. That's all Gentiles were involved in. They knew not God, had no hope without God in the world, is what the Bible said. We worshiped idols. Our forefathers, they worshiped idols and strange gods. They were ignorant of God, ignorant of the Creator. And then there is the third, the deliverance of mankind as a whole, Jew or Gentile, from the captivity of sin and death. And we see the deliverer in Isaiah 53. And so this great prophecy that starts here in this chapter, that God is revealing His servant that would come and accomplish these three great deliverances. First, of course, it was again the Jews being delivered from the captivity of Babylon. Now I want to say this about that part. That I think was part of the blindness that happened to Israel. Why that they did not want to, you know, see the Messiah suffer the way that he did, to see him in such a lowly state, in such a rejected state. It was hard for them to accept anything other than a king, redeemer, than someone who was glorious and beautiful, someone that would come in power and deliver them. Are you listening? And they were blinded by being delivered from Babylon. They thought, even no doubt, that Isaiah 53, they could not see Christ. That had to have been some other man that would maybe be a deliverer for them to come out of Babylon. There were all sorts of thoughts and theories that happened among the Jewish people and those that were there. Now, if you look at this, I mean, they did not want to witness anything more than a glorious sight as far as their Messiah, Savior, was concerned. They're still looking for that. They don't believe that Jesus that you and I have trusted in as Christians, as believers, the Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, that was him, Jesus of Nazareth, that he came lowly, that he came the way that he did, that he died, that he was rejected, that he was beaten, that he was killed by the crowd, that he crucified, that he rose again, that he was God in the flesh. They don't believe that. They don't want to believe that.
You think about Christ as the way that he is showed in the Bible. I mean, the conception of a suffering and humiliated, chastised, rejected, crucified Savior. Listen, that was absolutely not the concept. That was contrary to the concept that the Jews desired when Christ came. They didn't desire that. They didn't want to see that. I mean, but it was his faithful adherence to the pattern of the Scripture that was laid down, amen, that caused their rejection and their clamoring for his death. Remember, it was the Jews, multitudes, that cried, "Away with this man! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Isn't that what they did? As surely that's what they did. And so they absolutely did not want to see this suffering Savior, this Savior that would be exalted through his suffering. That's what you and I have seen. We have seen our Savior who has been exalted through his suffering. But when you look in Isaiah here, it starts in chapter number 42, you see the mention of a servant. Most people know that study the book of Isaiah about the servant's song. And it was the song, listen, not so much that Isaiah wrote that from just his own mind and heart, but it was the song of God given to Isaiah concerning his servant. And it comes in three parts, the song of the servant. The first servant song, Jehovah introduces his Messiah, his servant. And that's where we read in Isaiah 42. He said, "Behold, my servant." That's God speaking. "I want you to look at my servant." Amen. "Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles." Amen. He has given. The Bible said in verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Hey, every one of us ought to shout glory when we read that verse. When it comes to our part, amen, every one of us that's saved should shout glory. And then so he said to bring out, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He wouldn't give it to just graven images. He had a son, a servant, that he was going to give it to. He was going to put his spirit upon him. He told him, "I'll hold your hand." Amen? Those are the things that God is telling the servant, our Lord, Savior, amen, that what he would come to do. And this was the first part of the servant's song. All the way through verse 9 in chapter 42. The second one was the servant's calling to work in chapter 49. Look at it. And verse 1 through 7. You see, may even see something in the notes about the Messiah's call and ministry. Well, that is the second song. It is the servant's calling and his work. God said in verse 3, "And said unto me, Thou art my servant." And he calls him, "O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Amen. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. That's the Lord. That's the servant of God. That's his ministry. That's what he came for, to bring Israel back and to also be a light to the Gentiles. God is singing this song through these chapters in Isaiah, these servant songs. The third, many believe, is broken down in 8 parts. It is the song of the suffering for righteousness, the servant suffering for righteousness. It begins in Isaiah chapter number 50. Verse number 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Now that's important, you need to remember that. I'll come back to that in a minute. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Hey, there wasn't nobody could speak like him. Never a man spake like this man, that's what they said. Amen? Never a man spake like this man. He said that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lay down in sorrow. The suffering for righteousness, the Savior, that servant suffering for righteousness. Before I get into the remainder of those 8 that I was telling you about, those 8 parts of the third song. Some people say it's the fourth song. They can say that, it doesn't matter to me. But most believe it's 8 parts of a third song that God had wrote of his servant. Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled. and be very high. Amen? And be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard, shall they consider. The end of verse 15. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard, shall they consider. Paul spoke it in Romans 15 and 21 when he said, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Behold, my servant, he said in verse 13. He said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Now listen, I'm getting to all this and we're just getting started. But I'm trying to give you something about the servant of the Lord. The one that we celebrate today. Risen. This servant that only he could do what he did. Amen. He was prophesied so. He had to do it. Amen. He had to be the one sent of God. God's servant. It had to be the majestic plan of God Almighty from the beginning. The first action of this word, my servant shall deal prudently. Prudently. To be, to act, make, circumspect, intelligent. To understand, to have good success, to give attention to. You say, Brother Mark, what does that all mean? Well, the first action of this was a word in the Garden of Eden about the fruit in Genesis 3 when Eve, you remember, she saw a tree to be desired to make one wise. A tree to be desired. To make one wise. But it was unwise to partake of it. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. You see, Christ was able to look at the tree and not take it. Amen? He was able to look sin in the eye. That's what Adam did, listen, and Eve did, and that was not the sin. It was, the Bible said there in Genesis 3, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Make it look, not touch, but they're touching. That was unwise. Listen, to just look upon it would have made them much wiser. You know why? Because every time they saw it, they could have remembered what God said. In the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. To obey the Lord is wisdom. Amen. They could have looked upon that tree and gained great wisdom without touching. And so that same prudency, that looking to make one wise, our Savior came in the form of a servant, came in the form of a man, yet He took not sin. He did not partake sin. Could not partake sin. Amen. He was the prudent servant. He shall be exalted. Lifted above and extolled, lifted high to bear and be very high. Listen, he was not only exalted, but extolled. He was lifted up, but he was also lifted up to bear. Isn't that what Jesus said? And if I be lifted up, He's lifted up to bear. That's being extolled. He has to bear your sins and my sins. And not ours only, but also the sin of the whole world. God is saying here, this servant will be lifted up, but he'll be lifted up to bear the sin of the world. Thank God that he did came to be extolled. Then we enter in. God sees the servant in Isaiah 53. In verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. When God sees him, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. How do you care for a tender plant, brother? I mean, a real tender plant. I mean, you take very great attention to it. It's so tender, and it's gonna yield fruit, but it's very tender. Amen? It's not violent. It doesn't come out of the ground swinging like some things do. It's a tender plant. It's a tender, and he shall grow. But to the Jew, he was as a root out of dry ground. See, when God looked at him, God saw that tender plant. Why? Because God planted him. This was God's servant. This was God's son. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary. The power of the highest overshadowed her. That virgin conceived in her the seed of the Holy Ghost. That tender plant that came forth. But when the Jews saw him, a root out of dry ground. I don't know if you've ever been in a real dry place or not and then just see an old root laying there that somebody had pulled up, and it's just as dry and dead and ugly. There's no water in it. It can do nothing for nobody. There's no life in it. That's how the Jew looked at him. As a root out of dry ground. God said he was a tender plant. They said he's a root out of dry ground. Verse 3, he's despised and rejected. Isn't that what the Bible said? It's fulfilled in John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He was in the world. That's the cosmos. That's every, listen, is this world, it's the people of this, it's all creation. But the man especially that he created, Jew and Gentile, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That was the Jew. He came to his own, the Jewish people. Those that he was born into. He came to be a Jew, born a son of David, one of the tribes of Israel. He came to his own people, and his own received him not. A root out of dry ground is what they saw. Think about that. The Bible said in verse number 4, they did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Amen. Lord, have mercy. When you think about at first those who see God's servant and his intense suffering there, even before the cross. He's in the garden. His sweat becomes as it's great drops of blood. He is rejected by one of his own. He is despised by one of his own. He is betrayed by one of his own. Brought a crowd, betrayed by Judas. He kisses him. And from there, he's led away to judgment, being beat upon, being whipped upon, being suffering the way that he is before that he ever gets to the cross. Those that look upon him, listen, they're not seeing someone that's dying and suffering for everybody else. They say, he must have done something against God for God to punish him that way. That's how they saw him. That's why they mock so much. They think he's being punished by God. Look at Isaiah 53 is what it says. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. God is doing this to him. That's what they said to the servant, about the servant, about Jesus. God is doing this to him. It's his own sin. He blasphemed, and now God's going to make him pay. He's despised and rejected. Stricken means to lay hands on violently. Smitten, to strike, to beat, to wound, to stripe. Not only strike, but stripe. It's the Hebrew for this word. To beat to the place of killing. So you know what they said? We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. They said, God has laid his hands on this man violently. That God would lay his hands upon this man violently. Why? To kill him for all that's he's suffering for. But they think he's suffering for his own sin. He's suffering for my sin and your sin. Violently, are you listening to me? He's being stricken. The hand that once held his hand, he now feels forsaken by. They did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, browbeat, depressed. That's not only the body, but that's the self-abased. That's the soul and spirit of man. That's why he began to say, I am a worm and no man. Emotionally, the pressure. His soul is being made an offering for sin. I've preached that here before. So they, at first, don't see his intense suffering as a punishment for somebody else or for themselves, or for some wrong he's done. Then they realize that he's suffering not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. Not only the sins of others, but their sins. You see, that's the place you have to get to. You have to get to the place you realize Jesus didn't just die for the sins of the world. He died for your sins. He suffered violently for you. He took your place. He stands in your place 2,000 years ago as he is stricken and smitten of God. As they browbeat him, as they spit upon him, as they yell, crucify him, as they, like dogs, like packs of dogs, compass him about. Oh my, but God, this is his suffering servant. The servant he is, as one writer said, treated cruelly, but he bears it silently. Those that judge him show him no mercy and no justice. His fellow citizens are just as heartless. They show no concern that he suffers a death unjustly. They can see the Christians there crying. Some of them that followed, especially his mother, Mary Magdalene. They have heard the message that he would die for the sins of the world, but someone else, listen, even the thief on the cross at the last said to the other thief, "You and I, we're dying for what we've done. This man, he's done nothing amiss." Are you listening to me? It's been told from a thief on the cross, as if God wanted them to know one last time, this man does not deserve what he's dying for. Do you want to see somebody suffer unjustly? Especially if you know they're innocent. I mean, beyond every shadow of a doubt, innocent. There were people that day that knew he was innocent, yet they didn't care. They didn't care. Do you not care that he was innocent? When people reject him, it's like they're saying, "I don't care that he died for me. I don't care that he was innocent. He was dying for my guilt." Oh my. Listen. The Bible says the sorrow of death. Listen. Was the joy of his resurrection. In Isaiah chapter number 53. Bible said in verse number 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." I want to ask you something. How can he divide the portion with the great and with the strong if he's dead? Listen, none of these people out here that's dead can do anything for you or me right now. But you know how God said that he would? Because he said he bore their iniquity. Listen, not only that, but because he lives. Because he is alive. The Bible lets us know here that he was in chapter number 53, if you read it, he was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was put in a grave. But the servant, the hand of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. The psalmist prophesied about his soul being left in hell. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the body of Christ being raised by the power of Christ, by the power of God. The Bible said that God hath raised him from the dead. He declared him to be the Son of God, the servant of God, with power by the resurrection from the dead. These servant songs would be of no use had he not raised on the third day. But he did. He raised on the third day. Amen. You and I had somebody to come to be a light for us, to seek us out when we were in darkness, to bear our sin, to be lifted up to bear it, to raise again the third day. You and I could have hope in the servant. Amen. The Savior servant. He is now, listen, at the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. He is exalted through his suffering. The Bible said that Christ emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. You remember that? Being made in the fashion of men, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. In his death and in his resurrection, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. What a Savior. What a risen, wonderful Savior. When you read these prophecies, you think of God from now on singing his song of his servant. God's song, listen, no doubt written from the foundation of the world, Brother Mike. Our Lord and Savior. I don't even know what time it is. My goodness. I'm done. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow.